Hello and welcome to the Blasphemous Pope Cathedral. I am your Blasphemous Pope Harry, and this is the Blasphemous Pope Podcast. Today we are doing sermon number 73, American Idiocracy. As the title suggests, this is somewhat about the movie Idiocracy and reflections of the current world we live in and what have you, the human condition, as it were, I suppose would be the best way to put that. First and foremost, we're going to be talking a little bit about the movie, a little bit about what the movie was, the framing of the movie, and the content of the movie, you know, what the real point of the movie was. This is in contrast to the societal takeaway of that movie, and I really want to make sure that everybody understands what really was going on in the movie, as opposed to what a lot of people's takeaway from that movie was, and what the trouble of taking the framing over the content was, what the attitudes of what played out in the movie, what that generally did to mold a certain group of people's thinking. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about dystopia, what it is, and how we can see the reflections of what happened in this movie Idiocracy happen time and time again in at least American civilization. I can't really speak for other countries, but I can absolutely speak for America. And the fact of the matter is, unlike what Mike Judge, the director of the movie, said, it's not Idiocracy is playing out in real time in 2016 America. It's always been playing out, and it's just gotten more and more obvious as time has gone on. So when we come back, we are going to get into the sermon proper. If you wish to get a hold of me, the Blasphemous Pope, there are plenty of ways. First and foremost, here on Spotify and on Spotify for podcasters, there will be always a question on the podcast itself. You can type in a little answer, and that's one way that which we can interact. As well as, there is a messaging feature where you can leave a voice message. Little warning, those messages become able to be used in a podcast. If you wish for it not to be used in a podcast, please tell me beforehand so that this way I am not doing something against your wishes. I'm going to try to abide by other people's wishes. The social media links on Spotify and the Spotify for Podcasters website are directly to me. You can contact me that way, add me as a friend, follow me, what have you. If you wish to have a little more interaction with the community in total, there is a Facebook group where we do have a growing community, as well as the Discord, which has got a link at the bottom of the description. A little note on the Discord. As far as the Discord is concerned, that is where I'm going to be doing the live streaming from. So if you wish to take part in the live streaming, either by voice or by text chat, or just to sit there and listen as I do it live, you can do that on the Discord. So I do encourage you to join the Discord, of course. If we are trying to make a decision on something, I generally try to throw the decision out to my acolytes to vote on. And if you want to get a part of that action, that's done through the Facebook group. Thank you for listening, and now back to the show. And welcome back. Thank you for coming back. Of course, yes, please contact me. I am eager for interaction. Sermon 73, American Idiocracy. Idiocracy is a movie. It came out in 2006, pretty much almost direct to DVD, I believe. The director was Mike Judge and a gentleman named Ethan Coen. And what Idiocracy is social satire. What I mean by social satire is it is satire, making fun of society, specifically American society. Particularly at that point in time, 2006, there was this thing called the anti-intellectual movement, or anti-intellectualism. Basically, I don't have to be smart, I can just skate through life being a fucking idiot. And that is a theme from the 80s. I'm going to have to say this, Matt Groening, with the perpetual underachiever and the idiot dopey dad in The Simpsons was literally a hallmark of anti-intellectualism. So that was one of the satirical points of Idiocracy. Another satirical point was corporatism, basically the marriage of the companies and the government. The government doesn't do what it does unless the companies that reside within the territory of the government are okay with it. And granted, for lack of a better term, this is not specifically tied to just companies that are based in the country. There is sometimes outside of the country influence, corporate influence on policies and what have you in at least the United States. I can't really speak for other countries, but I'm pretty sure it's all the same. Consumerism, the fact of the matter is, if we look back at 2006, at that point in time, the economy was doing pretty well. It was right before the 2007 crash, and that 2007 crash was literally a wake-up call, so to speak, for a lot of people about how bad it really was. But at that point in time, in 2006, consumerism was at an all-time high. Commercials everywhere. Everyone's got to get the best of everything and what have you. And finally, the other social satire, and this is a little bit dark, is Digenics is a eugenic theory, I guess is the best way to put it. It's none of this is really scientific. When you talk about eugenics is not a very scientific thing to begin with. It's a very horrible racist thing. But digenics is basically the exact opposite of eugenics. It's, you know, allowing the inferior to breed causes digenics, causes more unfavorable traits to be carried on from generation to generation. Now, the framing of this entire movie was basically put in the sense of conservative versus liberal, right? So conservative versus liberal, the conservatives were stupid, and the liberals were intelligent, or better put, the dirty, filthy rednecks and the criminals living in the ghetto were outbreeding the upper middle class white liberals that, you know, wanted to save the planet, wanted to be good people, and everybody else was just fucking off, right? Basically, you know, the beginning of the movie, you know, follows the line of Cletus, where Cletus is living in a trailer, fucking his wife, having kids, and then the trailer next door has this single mother that he's been banging and probably fathered a few of her kids too. And then Cletus's son, who happens to do well in football and is a big, giant guy, fucks three cheerleaders, has three kids, and then it extrapolates this big, giant family tree of Cletus, you know? And then in contrast, they focus on this white liberal couple that is always putting off having children because of career, putting off having children because they just bought the house, they're putting off having children because not in this economy. And thusly, the stupid people are breeding and the intelligent people are not. And this is how we get to the quote-unquote world of Idiocracy. And it's the year 2500 or 2505, something like that. But on top of that, the framing is that in the event that you have more and more stupid people breeding, is that corporations are just taking over the entire influence of society. They are policymakers as opposed to running their own business and what have you. Now, the content is very reflective of George Carlin quote. It's the owners, the people who run society, don't want a intelligent population capable of critical thinking. They want a population that's smart enough to pull the levers and push the buttons to make society run, but stupid enough to buy all their bullshit. And that is basically the framing of where you're at when you get to 2500, right? You know, this is the state of society, that they're that dumb, but they're actually even a little dumber. And that's where the whole plot of the movie is that they don't know how to grow food. And we'll get into that a little bit later. The content also focuses heavily on corporatocracy, because the plot is actually derived from the corporation saying, well, this is the slogan, you know, Brondo, it has electrolytes, what blank fill in the blank craves. This is a propagandized slogan, a consumer slogan, so to speak, in which they basically put Brondo in everything. Brondo is in the drinking water. It's a fountain with an energy drink in it, right? And so in similar fashion, they're attempting to water the crops of America with Brondo. And just in case you don't know, when you put electrolytes into soil, that's basically salting the earth. And when you salt the earth, you won't grow anything, right? So that's the plot. And the whole thing with Idiocracy is this average person from today, well, from 2005, goes into a military program. He's in the military, goes into a military program where he goes to sleep for supposed to be a year, cryogenic sleep for a year, and the project gets scrapped, and he's just basically sitting there for 500 years until, and then that's when his capsule opens, start of the movie. So then he is then the smartest man alive, just having average intelligence, right? So at that point in time, when he's like, well, if your crops aren't growing, why aren't you watering them with water? And first and foremost, everyone goes, water from the toilet, that's gross. And second thing coming out of everybody's mouth is, well, we water them with Brondo because it has electrolytes. It's what plants crave, you know, and this is the trap. You know, you're not smart enough to understand why this doesn't work, right? And that is due to consumerist corporatocracy and marketing of this product, Brondo. Now, the other content of this movie has to do with bread and circuses. The show is much more important than the actual solution to the problem. You know, the president is a porn star and professional wrestler. The hero, quote unquote, of the story, when the crops aren't immediately growing when you water them, because that's not how nature works, they attempt to punish, they're going to punish him, right? And their punishment is that he is going to be in a monster truck rally, you know, where the president's going to be driving this giant monster truck and it's going to try to crush him, you know? So that's also another main highlight of this movie. So when we come back, we'll talk about the societal takeaway. Hello and welcome back. Thank you for coming back. The societal takeaway from this is a matter of framing over content. Basically, a lot of the people took the framing to be the point of the movie and not the content. Because if you take the framing out of the movie, the content still works. And that's the point. The content is the point of the movie, not the framing. Mike Judge was good enough to say in 2006 that he doesn't make things with a political bend. Any political bend is coincidental. It's really about society and about social issues. And anti-intellectualism is a social issue. It's not a political issue. Now, we do live in a world where there's a certain demographic of people who make everything political. And because of the fact that they were the unsung, unable to be heroes of the Idiocracy story. They were outbred, so to speak. They were diegetically removed from the population, that they took it to be political because that's how it was framed. But the content really stands without that framing, and that's something that has to be understood, has to be accepted. As far as when they deal with people of color, I hate to break it to you, but it's condescending. I've seen it. And they go, well, if you don't support what I believe, you're racist. It's not up to them to decide what's racist. It's up to the person who of that race. You know, it's not up to the white liberal to decide that. It's not up to the white liberal to be offended on someone else's behalf. And that is part of that whole white man's burden mentality, which draws all the way back to slavery times in the United States. That was one of the main selling points, quote unquote, for slavery. Was it was white man's burden to take the black men out of the jungles of Africa. And this is horrible, horrible fucking way to fucking look at things, but this is how they do. Apple does not fall far from the tree, so to speak. Now, the movie does put forward a lot of very problematic, I want to say, attitudes, specifically towards poverty, towards lower income communities, be they the filthy white rednecks, God forbid that they disagree with the white liberal, or urban communities, I will put it that way. It does put a very horribly racist bend on the entire situation. People who seem to be very concerned about racism don't seem to be very concerned about racism when they don't think that people of color have the same ability to climb the social ladder as people who are not of color. And it promotes this attitude of nannyism for the greater good. I don't know if nannyism is a word, but maybe it should be. And with that being said, we really have to look at it as a failure to actually deliver the message. When the societal takeaway is, if you are not left of center, you are not good, that is not a great way to frame a movie if you're specifically looking to look at society as a whole. You can't really pick a winner in this one. And I will explain later when I talk about exam. When we come back, we will be talking a little bit about Dystopia. I want to give a special thank you to all of my acolytes, that is you, the listeners, as well as the listeners who have been with me since the beginning. These people, since before monetization, since episode one, and since before episode one, have been friends and supporters of everything that I do, so I want to make sure I give them a special shout out. There is a space at the end of this list for listener supporters. Listener supporters are people who financially support this podcast, this production, and for as little as 99 cents a month, you can become a listener supporter. I would greatly appreciate that. To begin, we have Anarchic Radio, run by Donna Van Meter, Amy Lynn Russell, and Moose Girl. The link for that is down in the description, as well as the link for all of these projects. Extremist Being Awesome, run by Star O'Hara. This is a motivation and accountability group. The Master of the Dark Arts of Marketing, Mr. Nathan Frazier. You can learn about the esoteric and not-so-esoteric arts of marketing through his content. The Salted Sicilian. This is a close personal friend of mine, Christy Caruana's food blog. She is a Culinary Institute of America graduate. A Wild Little Podcast. This is a fellow podcaster here on Spotify for Podcasters. We did a lot of promoting each other early on, and I'm continuing that tradition. I have no idea what she's doing. Other supporters that have been here since the beginning. Over on Twitter, we have We Trade Free, Miss Kennedy Edwards, London Gardens, and over on Instagram we have Mr. Michael Brandon Witt. Again, if you wish to become a listener supporter, it's as low as 99 cents a month, and you will be added to this. If you have a project, I absolutely will bark that project for you. I go over that stuff in an email between us, and then we can continue our relationship. Now back to the podcast. And welcome back. Okay, so now we're back. We're going to talk about dystopia as a genre. Dystopia as a genre, people look at it as a version of sci-fi. And to a degree, that is acceptable as a definition, but that's not really the point of dystopia. Dystopia as a genre really is a reflection of the now. It's a criticism of current, or as close to current as possible. It uses literary devices such as extremism and taking things, extrapolation of these extremes to the ridiculous. And that's the satirical part about it. That's what makes it funny and makes it more digestible. If someone were to make a dystopian movie about how people getting dumber and dumber as time goes on, and it wasn't funny, A, no one would watch it. And B, the people who did watch it would hate it, right? So just like, I forget who said it, you know, if you're going to say something controversial, make it funny so you don't get killed for it. Well, that's the case here, especially with dystopia. If you really want to sell your dystopia, you have to have a really good story. And if you can make people laugh, you might survive it. There you go. Marketing and media influence is a very big point to the content of Idiocracy. I would say almost more so than the stupidification of populations, and on equal par with Bread and Circuses. I think that they are pretty much married as concepts. So when I say that, there are examples. There are plenty of examples, and these date back to the turn of the century. We can look first and foremost, let's look at Reefer Madness, the political campaign that was backed by corporate America, specifically the tobacco industry and the alcohol industry, to get marijuana illegal. One of the reasons why that was the focus of Reefer Madness, well, why Reefer Madness existed, is because there was a large population of South Americans, specifically south of the Texas border, right south of the Texas border, that did enjoy marijuana, and that was a problem. And it became also very popular with other people of color, and that became a problem. You know, the age-old story of jazz musicians smoking the reefer and making women loose and da-da-da-da-da, that all came from Reefer Madness. It kills brain cells came from Reefer Madness, which was a funded study, a corporate funded study, where they asphyxiated about 500 rats and said that it was the marijuana smoke that caused the brain damage. If you asphyxiate an animal, regardless of how you asphyxiate them, whether you use smoke, whether you use a vacuum chamber, whether you choke them out with your bare hands, you're going to cause brain damage because the lack of oxygen to the brain is going to kill brain cells. That's science 101. But, you know, people ate it up because, well, they put a government stamp on it, right? So when we also talk about examples, we can't escape the on the other end of the political spectrum here, gun control. The fact of the matter is that gun control is full of slogans. There are no shortage of slogans for pro-gun control people, but in reality, that none of the statistics that they say are reliable. They're cherry-picked. They are comparing apples to oranges. You can't compare the United States with its very mixed population and its very large population to compare them to any other place and say, well, why do we have a problem? Oh, it's because of the guns. There's a lot to unpack there, a lot more than just, oh, if we take everybody's guns away, violence is going to end. The violence didn't end in England. It just got transferred to knives. Just saying. The fact of the matter is, though, the minute the slogans got involved, and that type of stuff happened, is the minute people just threw away their brains and said, no, this can't happen. The same thing is seen with war propaganda, and I can't imagine that Raytheon, Grumman, and Lockheed Martin, all of those companies aren't paying for a lot of that propaganda. The fact of the matter is, people, you can look at it even in the recent conflicts, but let's take something that has had a few years to cool off. It's still roaming around. The people going, well, the vaccines are safe and effective. Effective against what? You know, when we first ended the lockdowns here and I went back to work, one of my, when they announced that they were getting close, they were getting close to having a vaccine that they would be able to release to the public, one of the bosses, one of the managers at my job was like, well, it's 95% effective. And I was like, effective against what? Well, it's 95% effective. Against what? Against getting it? Against giving it to somebody else? Against getting sick if you do get it? Well, it's 95% effective. You know, it sounded almost exactly like, but Brondo has electrolytes. It's what fill in the blank craves. And that's the reality of the situation. This is how bad it really is. Idiocracy has already happened. It just happens on one side or the other. It happens to all of them, but it's like they take turns in being fucking stupid. And the reality is that you just need to get the fuck away from these people, all of them. And this is the reason why I talk about building communities, getting like-minded people on the same mission with you, because you avoid all of that. And there's a lot of people that go, oh, well, everyone gets propagandized. I'm sorry, but no, I don't. I'm not propagandized. Getting away from a very highly propagandized society who literally will follow the whim of any fucking asshole out there just because they check the right boxes for them. No, fuck you. You ain't catching me with that shit. And you ain't gonna catch anybody who listens to this with any type of serious mind with that shit. So, if you want to avoid being a part of American idiocracy or being a victim of American idiocracy, take the things that I've been saying for the last few weeks to heart. Start building your relationships, start building your communities, and start going through those meditations that I put out there a year or so ago, and start learning how to get your own water, and start learning how to grow your own food, because eventually that's going to be what you're going to need to do to survive. And with that, I want to say thank you to everybody for coming, taking a listen to me. Sorry, this one was a little bit of a Debbie Downer, but I felt it needed to be said. And I hope to see you guys next week.